Scott Bradmore here today. We're really excited to share with you our vision of this podcast and the purpose of it.
With respect to a transaction, a specific question around a transaction, a lot of buyers don't really understand what due diligence means and the process for which you make an offer on a property, and there is a due diligence period that is established contractually. It's a period for which the buyer has the ability to do their due diligence, to inspect the property, to have a survey done, to have HVAC checked, a roof inspection, and it's anything and everything around the inspection of a property. It could be also, we've helped clients that have identified properties, but yet they want to have someone else look at it for, if they may want to have a contractor in to determine if someone can convert this three-bedroom, two-bath home to a four-bedroom, three-bath, or a five to a six, to identify the setbacks, to determine if it's feasible and allowable to make the necessary changes to make the home what the buyer wants. And that's just one of many different examples.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The most frequently asked question in real estate, everyone's elated and excited to go under contract, and then they discover the oh well moment. This is real. You know, I've actually gone under contract with a property, and they have the inspection process, and there's a lot of anxiety centered around it. When is that happening? Is that happening late in the process? Meaning, did someone drop the ball? That's what's on everybody's mind. Or do they start at day one? You know, so that timeline is very important related to the repairs and the conversation centered, you know, related around when the inspection took place, when, if you need an expert or a secondary opinion to come in, is due diligence enough time to permit all those things to take place? And consequently, are there delays that are out of your control that buyers ask for extensions? So there's a lot of conversation, no doubt about it, around repairs for the seller and the buyer. There's a lot of anxiety around, if it's an older home, everyone knows that something's going to be on the list. Heck, even a new home has a list. Every house has a list. So the way you handle that, I think, is critical in the negotiation process. And Scott, you mentioned to it, and having a contractor or a professional come in sometimes can be the third party. You know, this is not a buyer's, like, I really need to have this happen in order to make this work. This is a professional opinion. So, you know, sometimes you have to have secondary or third, you know, opinions. If the inspector notes a structural defect, he's not qualified to make anything other than a recommendation to go talk with a structural contractor, and most of the time a structural engineer, to have some kind of certified, you know, official letter stating that this is a problem, it's not a problem, if it is a problem, how do you fix it, and very detailed account of what it would take to fix it. So repairs are probably the number one conversation, and I think as agents, what we really work hard on is setting those expectations early on, you know, in that process. It's critical. Otherwise, people, they think one thing or they're not sure, and different states handle it differently. You know, so we're in North Carolina, we have an as-is contract, which means that when you put forth an offer, you come to an agreement, it's black and white. It says it's absolutely as-is condition. You know, it's in writing. So this, but the practical thing is the buyer's going to have an inspection. They have the right to, you know, perform repairs. The seller has the right to say no, but the buyer has the right to walk away. So do you want the deal to stay afloat by saying no to $500 worth of repairs? So often is the case, identifying what the actual dollar amount is makes it less scary. So if someone says, you know, it looks like they beat me up on the price from a seller's perspective, you know, now they're hitting me up at the second bite of the apple, so to speak, with $10,000 of repairs when maybe it costs $1,000. And identifying what that actual number is can help you get some middle ground of understanding on how to keep things moving forward. So there's definitely strategy around that that we've learned over the years, that every personality is a little bit different. So
as long as the expectations for both parties are reasonable, then that's when you find a meeting of the minds. That's when you find, okay, you've created a win-win.
Yep.
Because, you know, the buyer needs to understand when they go in, as Mike mentioned, when they go into contract, they are buying the home. They're suggesting that they intend to buy the home as is. However, through that due diligence process, if issues or repair items are needed or come to light through that inspection, then they have the right to ask the seller to make those repairs. And then the seller, once again, with respect to expectations, the seller needs to understand that there will be items, no matter how nice the house is, that come up. They need to account for that with what they're willing to accept in the offer and not be surprised when a repair request comes in with a certain amount of monies that need to be designated to those repairs.
I love what you said, Scott, about reasonable. And that word reasonable, that's absolutely true. Even when you're putting forth an offer as a buyer, you know, what's reasonable in terms of a deposit? What's reasonable in terms of a time frame? I think that's an excellent word to keep in mind from a buyer or seller perspective is to have, within reason, does it make sense, Mr. Seller, you've identified all these issues. It's now a material fact that if this deal dissipates, it goes away, you now have to disclose that to someone else. That guidance and construct of rationale, sometimes it may take them a day or two, but in the end, the reasonability of someone that it normally fares well, you either know how it's going to outline from the beginning or sometimes people surprise you, but in the end, that's where we're there to guide you and make sure we're on track. Because the goal is to finish, right? The goal is to close, and so the seller can move on, the buyer can, you know, buy the home and be happy, and everybody's happy, hopefully.